supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. Our top stories: inflation rate drops for the 11th straight month, reducing from 8.0% in October to 6.3% in November, the lowest since 2019. Also, Transport Minister dismisses minority leader's allegation of spending over 9 million Ghana cedis in 2025 without parliamentary approval, describing the allegation as political and baseless.
What we approved in this house, 83 million, releases 92 million.
Provisions to continue with the construction of the projects that they took money and couldn't finish.
We have details plus his justification for the 5 city to 150 Ghana city increment in airport user fee.
The committee was recommending to the House such that in the next Fees and Charges Act, the ministry be considered to increase our airport passenger service charge.
In the central region, chiefs in the Agona-Nyakum traditional area are calling on government to take urgent and decisive action against Galamse, which has destroyed the Ayensu River and threatening the survival of the Konyako treatment plant. That's in our continuing series, Dear Mahama, Stop Galamse. We're also in the Upper East region, where agroecology is being promoted as climate adaptation and mitigating strategy in Ghana.
We believe that if we embark on those things, we will not rely so much on external inputs for agriculture. And that is when we will be able to save a lot of money. Government must be intentional about promoting it.
That's for our climate focus in sports.
Ghana's brilliance at the West African Para Games continues with more medals in multiple disciplines after day 5 of the competition.
Achitomaku joins us later with the details on sports news. These and more with me, Pearl Ofori. This is Journeys, independent, fearless and credible. In our first story this afternoon, Ghana's inflation rate has dropped for the 11th consecutive month, easing to 6.3% in November from 8.0% in October, according to the latest Consumer Price Index report released by the Ghana Statistical Service. The government statistician, that's Dr. Alhassan Idrisu, who presented the data in Accra, said the decline was driven largely by reductions in both food and non-food inflation. My colleague Winston Turkey joins me from the Ghana Statistical Service headquarters with more on this. Winston, another drop in inflation figures, but there are still some items we understand which are driving this national average. What more can you tell us on this?
Thank you. Yes, it's another significant drop in the national inflation rate, but despite the overall decline, some key items continue to exert upward pressure on the index. From the latest CPI figures released today, the main drivers of inflation are coming from specific components within both the food and non-food categories, even though the general trend is downward. On the food side, prices of some of the essential staples are still rising faster than the national average. This includes selected cereals, vegetables, and processed food items that continue to reflect supply constraints in certain parts of the country. So while overall food inflation has dropped sharply from 9.5% to 6.6%, these particular items are slowing the pace of decline. For non-food items, pocket of pressure remain in areas such as housing-related costs, utilities, and some household goods. These components did not ease as quickly as others, contributing to 6.1% non-food inflation rate recorded for the month of November. But if you look at the regional dynamics, the Northeast region, which posted the highest inflation at 12.3%, is one of the areas where some of these price pressures are more pronounced, while the Savannah region is basically recorded an inflation of negative 0.02%, reflecting a completely different movement, especially when it comes to price. So overall, these prices are happening despite the broad decline to 6.3% recorded for the month of November 2024. 2025, basically, yeah.
Okay, Winston, thank you so much for that update. And he was reporting from the headquarters of the Ghana Statistical Service. In studio with me is Isaac Kofieje. Isaac, let's stay on this this issue. And we also know that there are everyday items with inflation rate above 30%. Mm. What more can you tell us
this Christmas, if you are hoping to buy a live poultry, know that you should expect last year's price to go up by some 22.6%, because inflation for live poultry is now around 22.6%, even though the national average of inflation is around 6.3%.
Yes.
If you look at a product like an everyday product like ginger, its inflation is now 94%. Plantain is 58.8%. Charcoal, I mean, we'll be cooking with charcoal during this Christmas time. We'll be using LPG. But charcoal's inflation is 59.9%. Crab, those of us who love crab and are hoping to enjoy this Christmas, 34.7%. Dark beer inflation is currently around 30.2%. And the last one will be those who are hoping to see eye specialists. Their inflation currently is around 25.1%.
Isaac Ofiejay, thank you. Now, away from inflation, the Minister for Transport, Joseph Bukari-Nipe, has dismissed a number of allegations of unapproved budget spending and unauthorized charges at the airport. The minority leader, Alexander Afenyo-Markin, during the approval of the Transport Ministry's budget, said the ministry had overspent its 2025 budget allocation by over 9 million Ghana cedis without recourse to parliamentary approval. Listen.
Speaker, if you look at table 3, there is a huge scandal at table 3, paragraph page 6, table 3, a huge scandal. Capital expenditure, 2025 appropriation, what we approved in this house, 83 million. Releases, 92 million. Somebody must go to jail. Then when you come and see actual expenditure, 92 million. Variance, negative 9.4. Somebody must account for this 9.4 million. It is clear that many of you are likely to go to jail. From what I am seeing, Mr. Speaker, just year one alone, only yesterday, you were on us. The slightest mistake, you'll be inviting MPP appointees to go to OSP, to go to NIB. Mr. J. Mensah himself admits by signing this report that there is some chop-chop that has gone on.
Well, the member of parliament for Okaikwe Central, Patrick Bwama, also raised concerns over government's plan to increase airport service charge from 5 cedis to as much as 150 Ghana cedis.
Airport passenger service charge from 5 Ghana cedis to 100 cedis per passenger. The government is hiding this in the report. Mr. Speaker, 100,000% increase, 1,000% increase from 5 Ghana cedis to 1,200 Ghana cedis per passenger on both domestic and international flights. Mr. Speaker, this is a very serious charge that the country must be made aware of. Mr. Speaker, airport tax, is this the resetting that now you can't even drive on our roads? Flying to has become too expensive. Is that what they promised this country? From 5 Ghana cedis to 100 Ghana cedis.
But the Transport Minister, Joseph Nipe, rejected the claims in an address to journalists. First, listen to his response to the minority leader's claim on the budget overrun.
We didn't overspend our internally generated funds. What happened was that the Ghana Maritime Authority in 2021-2022 contracted some loans from Ecobank and other financial institutions. But it wasn't catered for, the repayment wasn't catered for in the budget. So the Ghana Maritime Authority wrote to me, asking me to do same to the Minister for Finance, to allow us do some environments and service the loan that they contracted, the loan that they took to build the Tema office block, the Accra office, and the Takura Day office. So we were rather making provisions to continue with the construction of the projects that they took money and couldn't finish. It is not that we overspend.
While on the charges at the airport, he says the increment is only a proposal subject to approval in the fees and charges bill and not targeted at local travels.
At most of our airports, except Kotoka International Airport, the rest are dependent on the Kotoka International Airport. So the committee was recommending to the House such that in the next Fees and Charges Act, the ministry be considered to increase our airport passenger service charge. So what was said, I had to rebank what they said, is that since 2014, we have not increased any airport passenger service charge at our airport. It has remained the same, and there's a need that we should do something to increase our revenue volumes to be able to cater and run our airport to be the enviable airport within the West Africa sub-region. If you have traveled of late within the West Africa sub-region, you understand that the Kotoka International Airport is one of the best airports. And we have to keep it at that level and, again, have to improve upon it. So the committee, for emphasis, only recommended to the House. It was not an increment that we have made.
And let me take you live to Parliament now for an update on what the House is up to today. My colleague Kwiku Asante is the man on the beat. Kwiku, what should we keep our eyes on today?
Well, Pearl, with just a few days, in fact, just about 2 weeks for Parliament to take a break for Christmas, they are racing towards the Appropriation Act, that is the budget estimate for the various MDAs culminating into the Appropriation Act. And so yesterday, a number of the committees presented their report. It was passed. Roads Ministry, for instance, got a little over 5 billion yesterday. A number of the ministries we expect today will present their report. Constitutional and Legal Affairs Committee for the Attorney General. There will be matters having to do with the Energy Committee, ECD, and other matters all expected to be dealt with today. Also, the minority will continue in the assistance about the lithium deal and their opposition. In fact, in the coming minutes, the Lands Minister is expected to address journalists to respond to some of the issues that have come up. So, centrally in Parliament, the various committees are expected to present their report on the estimates of the various MDAs, while we also look forward to the Lands Minister's response on the specifics of the lithium deal.
Kwiku Asante, thank you very much. Away from Parliament, private legal practitioner Martin Kwebu is expected to meet officials of the Office of the Special Prosecutor shortly, following allegations he made against the Special Prosecutor Kisie Jabin. Mr. Kwebu, speaking on a live television program, accused the Special Prosecutor of impropriety and claimed he facilitated the departure of former Finance Minister Kenneth Furuata from the country earlier this year. In response, the OSP issued a summons asking him to substantiate the claims as part of its inquiries. However, the office says Mr. Kwebu, during a previous appearance, declined to answer investigators' questions. My colleague Fatal Bayaga has more in this report.
Lawyer Martin Kwebu is back in the spotlight today as he faces investigators over his corruption allegations against Kisie Jabin and the Office of the Special Prosecutor. Mr. Kwebu has so far earned 2 out of 3 previous directives to appear. However, according to the Director of Strategy, Research and Communication, Sami Dakon, in a Facebook post, he has not fully cooperated with the inquiry and is yet to provide evidence to support his claims, despite making the allegations in several media interviews. During his most recent appearance on November 25, Mr. Kwebu reportedly informed investigators that he was still compiling his evidence and would present it to the OSP board. Once it is ready, Sami Dakon also said he declined further engagement with the investigative team at that session. Sources indicate that the OSP expects full cooperation from Mr. Kwebu today, noting that delays in the process have become a concern. Mr. Kwebu, however, has stated that his early engagements with the OSP were cordial and focused on procedural issues rather than formal interrogation. He maintains that discussions so far have centered on establishing the appropriate protocol for initiating the probe into his claims and determining how he would submit his information. As the matter unfolds, the public continues to watch keenly, with many calling for transparency to restore confidence in the country's anti-corruption efforts. For Joy News, Fatal Bayaga, Accra.
And Fatal Bayaga is at the OSP's headquarters. Fatal, has Mr. Kwebu appeared yet?
Hell, Mr. Tebu has not appeared yet at the office of the special prosecutor, but we're told that in the next 1 hour, 30 minutes, Mr. Tebu will be here to meet an investigative team in relation to the claims that he made or the corruption allegations he made against the special prosecutor. At the moment, I've seen a number of police officers and military officers stationed at the entrance of the OSP. In fact, when we got here, the said we wouldn't have the chance or access to the inner perimeter of the OSP. So we are stationed outside, and we told that at exactly 2 p.m., Martin Pebble will be here to provide or to substantiate the claims that he made against the OSP.
Fatal Bayaga reporting from the OSP's headquarters, and you want to follow us some more on this and subsequent bulletins. Away from Rat, President Mahama is set to inspect some ongoing road projects later today. In the last 3 months, the president has cast sword for the construction of major roads in the Greater Accra, Volta and Upper West regions as part of his Big Push initiative. Rather, he has expressed optimism that Ghana will, in the next 2 years, have the best roads in West Africa as a result of the Big Push initiative. Our presidential affairs correspondent, Maxwell Agbaba, joins me with more. Maxwell, has the president started inspecting these road projects?
So, Pell, the inspection is expected to begin later this afternoon. Although the full itinerary has not yet been released, it is anticipated or is expected that President Mahama will visit the Ufankor Nsam road project, which has since been reassigned as part of the Big Push initiative. We know the 33.4-kilometer stretch is a critical transport corridor serving large volumes of commuters, goods and services. Now, during a previous inspection in September, the president urged the contractor, Maripoma, to use quality materials and minimize inconvenience to road users. In fact, the president has repeatedly emphasized the importance of good roads, stating that road infrastructure was one of the major concerns raised during his campaign. Now, under the Big Push initiative, all associated road projects are expected to be completed within 2 years. In September, the president announced that a monitoring mechanism will be established at the presidency to track and supervise all ongoing works to ensure safety, to ensure effective oversight, I should say.
Okay, Max, so we can now listen to the president.
Big Push projects have been allocated in such a way that no contractor will take 24 months to complete, because we haven't given any contractor too long a stretch that will take him too much time. We've broken it up into pieces so that every contractor can work quickly and then they join their portions together. So let me apologize to Ghanaians. From the launch of this Big Push here, the whole of Ghana is going to become a construction site. So bear with the contractors, but know that we are suffering to gain, and we're going to keep monitoring the progress of all the projects. So they'll visit the projects regularly from time to time at every stage to see the status of the projects. They'll take pictures, they'll take videos, and so I'll be sitting in my office, and I can see what First Car is doing on the whole Aflao Road.
Let's take you now to the central region, and chiefs of the Agona Nyakrum traditional area are calling on the government to take urgent action against illegal mining in the eastern region. Though the community previously resisted Galamsey on its own lands, renewed activity upstream has now polluted the Ayensu River, the main source for the Kwinyako Water Treatment Plant 7, Agona Nyakrum and surrounding communities. The contamination is affecting more than 10 districts in the central region, leaving thousands without access to clean water. Aiman Ojivenu has more in today's episode of Dear Mahama, Stop Galamsey.
The chiefs in the Agona Nyakrum traditional area are in a council meeting. Nana Ampem Daku the Fifth is chief of Kwinyako.
If Galamsey, Yankasa, Yempen for Gun, Ebinbunim Hubi.
Years ago, they fought and stopped illegal miners who attempted to dig close to the Ayensu River within their lands. They resisted and protected the river. They won the battle. But the war has returned.
For about almost 1 year, West.
Dear Mahama, the people who once defended the Ayensu River now watch it die at the hands of illegal miners they cannot confront.
You're listening to the Midday News. Still to come, Ghanaians push back against new multi-year utility tariffs increment, saying the current prices are already in users' time to do sports. And Achu is here. What do we have?
Hi, Pearl. And Team Ghana's strong performances at the West African Zone A and B Paragames continued on day 5, securing multiple podium finishes across several disciplines in Abeokuta, Nigeria. Here's the report from my colleague, Haruna Mubarak.
Ghana's sitting volleyball team made history by winning bronze in their first ever international competition. The team coached by Seydou Ajanako recovered from an earlier loss to Nigeria to secure the medal. In para table tennis, Abdul Aziz Abe and Isaac Ampofo added another bronze in the doubles event. Parachuting also brought good news as Emmanuel Amobire won gold in the rifle category. Ghana impressed in wheelchair basketball by claiming silver medals in both the women's division and the mixed category. Wheelchair tennis was one of Ghana's strongest events on the day, producing 6 medals. Para-athletics added 5 more medals, with Adai Hayford winning silver to secure his second medal of the games, while veteran athlete Botio Nkegbe also won silver. In total on day 5, Ghana won 16 medals, bringing the nation's confirmed medal count of the games to 32 in all.
That was Haruna Mubarak's report from Abeokuta, Nigeria.
And thank you very much, Achu. Now, as part of efforts to promote agroecology as a climate adaptation and mitigation strategy in Ghana, the Center for Indigenous Knowledge and Organizational Development has engaged district assembly officials in the Upper East region on the benefits of sustainable farming practices. The meeting dubbed the Agroecology Caravan Tour brought together coordinating directors, budget and finance officers, and an environmental officers, and included a field visit to a farm where participants experience agroecology in practice. Correspondent Albert Sori reports for our Climate Focus series.
The Ghana Agroecology Movement includes the Center for Indigenous Knowledge and Organizational Development, SICOD, the Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana, PFAG, and other farmer groups nationwide. The movement has been pushing for the adoption and investment into agroecology, a farming method based on applying the interactions between plants, animals, humans, and the environment within agricultural systems. SICOD recently brought together district assembly officials from 3 districts of the Upper East region to discuss the benefits of agroecology. Deputy Executive Director for SICOD, Wilberforce Lati, emphasized the need for a shift from chemical-based farming to agroecology.
Agroecology hinges on our indigenous practices. The issue of recycling, synergy between crops and animals and all that, biodiversity, these are all elements or principles of agroecology. And we believe that if we embark on those things, we will not rely so much on external inputs for agriculture. And that is when we will be able to save a lot of money. Government must be intentional about promoting it.
Now, Ghanaians are pushing back against the newly announced multi-utility tariff increments, arguing that the current cost of electricity and water is already unbearable. Many fear the latest adjustment will place additional pressure on households. This follows the new multi-tariff adjustment announced by the PRC, with electricity and water tariffs expected to rise by 9.36% and 15.92% respectively next year. The Commission says quarterly tariff reviews will continue to reflect key variables such as fuel prices and the generation mix. And for the first time, tariffs for mini-grids, 7 island and remote communities have been incorporated into the national system. We'll be hearing shortly from Ghanaians, but first, listen to this news desk report.
The Public Utilities Regulatory Commission says the bills take effect from January 1, 2026, following its new multi-year tariff review of 2026 to 2030. Electricity tariffs are going up by 9.86%, while water tariffs will rise by 15.92%. According to the Commission, the adjustments are driven mainly by the rising cost of generating and supplying power and water. Key factors include a heavy reliance on thermal generation, which now